brand new by local band Sun Stereo. That was Live How You Want on WPG 107.1. What up? It's Bridget here, and I've got Kelly of Sun Stereo right here with me. Thanks for being here, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So first off, for anyone who doesn't happen to know or just missed that last song, how would you describe your sound?
We have a very broad sound. We've got sparkles, rainbows, and a little bit of kittens thrown in there with, an occasional ray of sunshine.
That works. Yeah, definitely unique. Definitely unique. Honestly, I hate having to put labels on music.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, I feel bad for even asking that every time. But working at a radio station kind of mandates it. And there are some good things about having, genres that give you an idea of what to expect or, can make it easier to find music that best suits your personal tastes.
But oh, totally. Most of the stuff is danceable pop songs.
Right. Yeah, so cool.
With horns and a lot of vocal harmonies.
With horns,
and
yep.
And
sunshine and rainbows.
Yes. I mentioned the most important ones first.
Of course. So you're pretty much the main man of the band, I believe. You're a singer, songwriter, founder.
Yeah, but if I went away, they'd get somebody else, I'm sure.
Okay. So how many instruments do you play, personally?
I play a lot of instruments, not very well.
Okay.
I took piano growing up from first grade until I think it was in high school, and then it was no longer cool to play piano, and so I started playing guitar, taught myself how to play guitar, which was a big mistake. And then just a handful of years ago, we started up a band called Heyoka's in town, and I played keys in that band. That was the first time I played keys in a band, and so that kind of made me fall back in love with the piano all over again. And when I started up Sun Stereo, I thought it'd be cool to have a band that was not your typical instrumentation. And so there's, no lead guitarist. So we have drums, bass, keys, and then baritone, saxophone, trombone, trumpet. And then just in the last, three or four months, we've had added two violinists as well. And then there's all sorts of different electronic soundscapes and whirligigs and spaceship explosions that are thrown in there as well.
So how many people does that take to play?
Let's see, how many is that? I think that we've got nine. We also have Christine, who does all sorts of acrobatic performance art stuff with hula hoops and fan veils, and she likes to stand on her head and spin things around, and with her, I think it's we've got nine.
That's huge. That's a huge group.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So how did you said you started off with an old band and then you formed Sun Stereo. How did that happen?
I guess it was 5 or 6 years ago that I started up Sun Stereo with a couple buddies, and they have since moved on, and one moved out to Oregon to finish his music degree, and the other one, Josh Houchin, he's still in town playing with the Boat Drunks and tons of other bands. I have Ian Shepherd, who playing drums, who lived here in the community and was a super active member in the music scene back in the late 90s and early 2000s, and he's one of the original founders of the Brat Pack. Mm. And Temple of Loman and Funky Butt Drum Club, a whole bunch of other bands, and then the bass player recently that I've added as well is Chuck Appleby, and he's also played with a handful of other projects in town. The horn section, luckily I met a trumpet player, Nick Schroeder, at U of I, who was getting his, I think it was his master's in jazz performance there, or it could have been his doctorate. It's been about 5 or 6 years now, so I can't remember. But through Nick, I ended up meeting a number of people in the jazz program there at U of I, and just have developed wonderful relationships with them. And now I have Joel Cantorn, he's actually getting his master's in classical performance at U of I on trumpet, and then Ewan Edmonds on trombone, who's getting his doctorate in jazz performance there, and then Adrian Barnett, who is also getting his doctorate in jazz performance on baritone sax. He lives in Nashville. Ewan lives in Chicago, and they come when they can, but when they can't, then I've got a number of people that are just fantastic players that are at U of I that are more than happy to step in. Tomorrow night at Canopy, Joel will be playing trumpet, and then Justin McAdara will be on trombone, and then Robert Brooks will be on baritone saxophone. And both of those guys have played with us a handful of times as well. So,
so very, very closely knit into the local scene and also the university.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk more about that, but first, before I forget, I wanted to ask, is there any significance to the name Sun Stereo?
I've come up with some horrible band names throughout the years, and you know, there's certain, I guess, certain lessons that I've learned throughout the year, throughout the years about that, and you know, and to each their own, obviously. But my whole thing is like I wanted to come up with something that is, you know, easy to say and easy to pronounce and easy to remember. And I think the first band that I had in town, it was a band called Synesthesia, which is, you know, it was like Synesthesia. And it's just like...
mouthful.
Yeah, as soon as you say it, people, you know, their first reaction isn't, oh, cool, it's what? you know, so anyhow. No, I came up with a list of about 200, 300 names and then whittled it down to 10. And then it was pretty obvious that was the one that I liked the best.
Cool. All right. So, like you were saying, you're an Urbana local. Mm-hmm. You went to school here, right?
Yeah, I was a theater major at U of I, and I was in the acting program for a few years, and then I switched. I took a year off. I worked at a liquor store at Piccadilly, and then I went back to the theater program and became a. It was more of a general theater major with a focus on music and theater, and I ended up writing it was like a rock musical for my senior thesis.
That's
and
so cool.
We performed it in Cranert for all.
Do you remember what it was called?
yeah, I still have the script. I still have, because see, I played in the band Synesthesia back then, so and I wrote all the music for that band, and so I used all the music that I played with that band for the rock musical. And then I enlisted a handful of my close friends to perform it with me. But it was just, I don't know, it was a fun, dumb show about everything that I was experiencing at that time.
Sure.
Working at the local liquor store, there was pretty eye-opening at the time, and I learned a lot. And I also just witnessed a lot of really entertaining experiences. So.
I would bet.
Yeah, so I wrote about it, and yeah, I'm kind of thinking it might be fun to bring it back, you know, in like another 10 years, bust it out, and
yeah,
and see.
Dust it off, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and Sun Stereo, just as the band, you've been in other projects in the local scene, but just Sun Stereo has been here for a long time. When did that start, roughly?
I think it was 2010. So I think it's been 6 years. So yeah, it's been a while now. Yeah, and So
would you say that that living here and specifically being so tightly involved in the music scene in CU, which is pretty unique and diverse,
mm-hmm.
Would you say that that's kind of influenced you?
Oh yeah, definitely. It always is surprising to me when I go to put together a show and we're talking about who we're going to do the show with and just the array of diverse talent. For you know, our show, for instance, tomorrow night at the Canopy Club, we're playing with three other groups that we've never played with and who, you know, are all fantastic. Trouble Chasin', which is like a hip-hop rap duo, and then, you know, local music stalwarts, New Souls, that's made up of, you know, Mike Ingram, Brandon T. Washington, mm-hmm. and, you know, CeCe LaCole, and then Black Mage, who's another local hip-hop artist that I just saw him last week at Canopy at the Champagne Cypher, and he blew my mind, and I was like, this guy's, he's playing with us next week. This is amazing. This is so awesome. And it was so invigorating, so exciting. And so that's you don't really think about a small community of around 100,000 people or so of, you know, having such a broad, I guess, talent pool, but it there really is. I know in the past, you know, we've done shows with other local bands like The Fights, who are a country band that I've asked to, you know, and I think that show that I put together, we had, you know, a country act, we had a hip-hop artist, and we had us. I mean, it was just like...
All over the place.
It was all, yeah, but I love doing shows like that because...
Yeah, it's so diverse.
You know, it's not that I don't like going to show and seeing three or four bands that are all in the exact same genre, but... Man, is it cool when you go to a show and you see all of these people that are from just different social groups and they're getting together and they're like, oh, yeah, I know you. Oh, yeah, I know you. Yeah. And, oh, you like these guys? Oh, great. Wow. You know?
Me too.
Yeah, right? And yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, those types of shows are always really cool, especially because you can go to them and not knowing that you're, you know, not knowing what you're going to get into or whether you like something and realize, hey, I like this genre or like this band. I never expected that.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's definitely something when I'm thinking about constructing a bill for a show or putting together a show, that's something that is super important to me. So hopefully people keep wanting to play with us.
All right, local bands, if any of you are listening.
Yeah.
Keep playing. Keep playing with Kelly, please.
Yeah, right?
So quickly, we're gonna listen to a song, another new song in a minute. But just quickly, do you have a favorite venue to play at locally?
Oh, man. You know, I don't want to get...
You don't want to get in trouble?
No, but I mean, I've got some deep roots at the Canopy Club.
Makes sense.
Yeah, when I was just a young buck back in 98, going to school here, and the Canopy Club opened, that was the first place that I ever started playing out. And I played the open mic night there with a dear friend named Joe Aslin, who plays in numerous projects in town. He was one of the original members of Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Now he plays with all sorts of bands. And we just went as, I think it was Kelly and Joe, or Joe and Kelly, I don't remember. But that was the first place that I played in town. We played every open mic night, you know, for a couple of years, and so that, you know, that's got it.
It's got the deep roots, got the history.
Yeah, I love Cowboy Monkey as well because that's we played a lot of Sun Stereo early shows there, mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like we really sort of built up our following here in town. But then also, I mean, Mike and Molly's is no longer, but
rest in peace.
Yeah. But I had some pretty amazing moments there. We had a sold out CD release show, not this last summer, but two summers ago. And, you know, just looking out and it was sold out and Christine was performing with fire and there were people out in the street watching us. And then I also have memories from, you know, about 10 or 12 years ago playing a Halloween show at Mike and Molly's and lugging, I was playing guitar at it was the band Synesthesia at the time, and mm-hmm. lugging a half-stack Marshall cab up the, you know, flight and a half of stairs.
Yeah, that iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic stairwell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to another brand new song. It's Sun Stereo with Sunshine Heroin. And we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Brand New by Sun Stereo. That was Sunshine Heroine. I'm Bridget. I've got Kelly of Sun Stereo in studio.
Wherever you want me to be.
You can be in whatever you want to be in.
Perfect.
So that was a brand new song. Is there a chance of a new album coming out soon?
Yes, there is. Over the last year, I've worked pretty diligently, pretty much around the clock to finish this album. And I think that the last time that I listened to it was back in January, because I just got so sick of it. So anyway, it's a 15-song album. It's called The Wait. And I don't know, part of me is thinking about maybe never releasing it, you know, just like a waiting for Godot sort of, sure. You know, ironic thing, but
B-side.
Yeah. No, I'm also talking with a few other producers that could potentially put their finishing touches on it. So luckily I don't have anyone that's breathing down my neck that says, you know, hey, it needs to be released by this time or this date or whatever. So I'm not really tripping about it when I decide to finally release it. We'll release it and we'll have a big CD release show here, and I think we'll probably when we do have the CD release show, we'll probably do I think I'd like to do like a beginning to end, just play the album from start to finish, and I've thought about a few other little tidbits to throw in there for the theatrical production of it, but I can't say them on air.
Fair enough. So let's talk a little bit about the writing process. You mentioned how it was helpful to kind of step away for a while. Is that a new thing, or is that something that's always been helpful for you?
The stepping away part of it, that's that was after it's pretty much been done. That was after me working on it intensely, you know, around the clock, you know, 10-hour days for the last year to finish all 15 songs. Until, you know, you talk with anyone who works on an album, and it's like, eventually you know, it tells you, like, okay, you're done. You know, like, and any of the little things that you've been, you know, bothered by, you don't even realize it, or you laugh about it later.
Because you're just like, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
So I think it was the end of January, I bounced all these tunes down, and I haven't listened to them since then. And a lot of these songs are songs that we've played live for the last like 3 or 4 or 5 years, but I just have never released because we've released other tunes that we thought were a little bit, I don't know, more accessible maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
So yeah, this is the first time I've heard these in a few months, so it's kind of cool.
It's a cool flashback. So how do you tend to go about writing?
Do I write the lyrics first, or do I write the music, or is it the,
in general? Yeah. How do you do it?
You know, it all depends. I love talking about the process of creating. It's so exciting to me. I try not to just say that there's, you know, follow one way, because each song is different. Each song is a different. Different beast, or so, you know, I try to sort of just be open to whatever that song is. So I guess the one sort of deciding factor that I decide is, you know, am I going to be writing from, you know, my first person sort of view on, you know, on how to deal with my existence and being alive, or whatever problem or joy that I'm experiencing at that time in my life, or am I going to write from another character's point of view, almost like a playwright would write about a character, which I love doing as well. And a lot of the songs off of Rogue Satellite are like that. For instance, like the title track Rogue Satellite is about a satellite that, you know, becomes
rogue.
Basically, and that was written from just a news story about and it was about this United States satellite that, you know, it was like a, basically it withheld this this great technology to where it was circling the Earth and it was able to see where submarines were, which was like a new pretty much
big deal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and they weren't sure that any of the other countries really possessed this.
Okay.
And this satellite just stopped listening and just started kind of doing whatever it wanted to. And so they were worried about a couple things. They were worried because it was filled with these hydrazine tanks, which is this fuel that's incredibly, you know, flammable and explosive. But they were worried that it was going to fall down and land in, you know, the wrong people's hands, and then they were going to be able to access that technology. Anyway, long story short, so we did what, you know, the United States does best. We blew it up, and we sent some, you know, I think, what's the line from the song? Standard SM-3 interceptor rockets coming after me. Mm-hmm. So we sent some interceptor rockets after it and just blew it up, which just really enraged the space community, because sure. Now there's just a bunch of, you know, more trash floating around the Earth. So anyway, that was...
That's really cool.
So yeah, there's an example of, you know...
So there's a lot of...
Yeah, there's another track on there called San Luis that I read about people smuggling drugs from Mexico, and so I wrote it based upon, you know, their perspective of getting caught and, you know, this and that. So I really enjoy doing both, you know, writing stuff that's about personal experiences versus, you know...
Characters.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's really neat. And when it comes to writing the music, is that something that you do on your own, or is it something that's kind of collaborative with whoever you're around at the time, or whoever's in the band?
I usually write most of the stuff, and then things that in my studio I do, and then certain things that I know that my bass player or drummer can come up with better because they're a lot better at their instrument than I am. You know, I'll just tell them, hey, you know, do whatever you want over this section. Here's a little hook that I want here or there, or, you know, I'm thinking maybe like a 16th note type of feel on the hi-hat so it feels like it's moving, but besides that, do whatever. As a writer and a band leader, you try to play to the strengths of your players, and you try to make them, you know, shine as best as possible, because that's the way that you're going to create the most potent art. And ultimately, that's my goal, you know, is to get all these people together and have, have a vision for each song, and, you know, have that vision come to light and as best as it possibly can, you know, with all of their talents.
Sure. All right, so we're gonna take another break. We've got some commercials to play, and then we're gonna listen to another new song called "I Go Mine." Don't go anywhere.
Only one way to find
out.
Yeah, right.
Brand new by Slam Stereo. That was "I Got Mine." You're listening to WPGU 107.1's Request Live. You just tuned in. I'm Bridget, and we've got Kelly of Slam Stereo here. We're having a fun little chat. We were just talking about that last song, specifically the ending. Do you want to reiterate that little anecdote that you just shared with us?
Oh, the
about the ending.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that'll be the final track on the album. Mm-hmm. that's coming out. And I was telling them during that song that when I first met Christine, who performs with us, her and her roommates would come to Sun Stereo shows, and they had this little jingle that they would sing throughout the day because they were excited to come hang out. And but it was like a stereo, stereo, sun, stereo, stereo, little catchy thing. And I was, you know, I don't know, kind of enamored with it. And I thought it was super adorable. So
yeah.
I told them that I would eventually write that into a song for them. And then I did. And then after that, after I wrote it into that song, I felt really dumb and self-conscious about it because, for obvious reasons, I'm singing my band name in a song, you know. And then over Christmas, when I was watching Christmas Story, and he's in the bathroom and he's doing his little decoder or whatever, mm-hmm. and you know, he gets all the numbers and letters, and he's like, be sure to drink your Ovaltine, you know, and he's like, a crummy commercial. And I just thought, how perfect would it be to just take a crummy commercial and throw it in there as a little tag? And yeah, so I did that. And then I grew up loving the Muppets, and so I thought, what a better way to end the album than having Statler and Waldorf come in with, they do that little bit about, you know, it's like a 10-second bit about how amazing it was, and then by the end it's talking about how terrible it is. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, that, what a great way to end the album.
End it with them heckling you.
Exactly, yeah. So
it's great.
Muppets, please don't sue Kelly from Sun Stereo.
Yeah. I don't have any money anyway.
It was the labor of love. Yeah. So you mentioned Christine. In all of my time here in CU, I somehow never had the pleasure of seeing you guys play live, which is ridiculous on my part. I honestly don't know how that's happened. But I do hear that y'all put on one hell of a show. And Christine is a performing artist as a part of the band. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Christine has, she adds a, you know, being a theater major, I love adding as many sort of theatrical elements to our live show as possible. And Christine just sort of encapsulates that perfectly, because when she was going to school here, she went and studied abroad over in Barcelona, and I think she fell in love with hula hooping, and she did all sorts of performing on the streets there for money, doing all sorts of hula hoop tricks, and she became really good at it, and also started practicing yoga, which also sort of she incorporates in as well. She now teaches at multiple places in town. And anyway, yeah, so she does all sorts of crazy performance stuff where she stands on her head and spins hula hoops and has fan veils. And yeah, it's pretty, it's something. And she's the most attractive person in the band, so it's a win-win.
Aww.
Yeah.
How sweet. So in general, like how important, especially when you were starting off, how important is the visual aspect of the performance to you? Was it super important right from the start, or was it something that has grown to be more important just along the way?
You know, it's always been really important, because, you know, as an artist, you're, you know, people are comparing you to, you know, Radiohead or whoever they go see, where, you know, the budget's unlimited. So, you know, it's important to do the best that you have with, you know, with what you got. And Christine, I didn't meet her until, or she didn't start performing with us until we'd already been playing for a couple years in town. But I've always tried to make each show a little bit different and bring in new people, or bring in some sort of an element that's new and different and exciting. Whether that's one show, we rented these enormous black lights and hung them from the truss up at Cowboy Monkey, and to do a black light show.
That's cool.
And it gets terrible. Just wait. And then we thought, okay, well, we'll get all this, like, glow-in-the-dark blacklight stuff and basically paint ourselves. So I thought, well, where can we get, you know, some really good blacklight reflective stuff? So we went to Dallas & Company, and, you know, the clear ink that they use for stamps?
Right.
You know, at, when you go to Disney World or whatever.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And you go to leave, and they stamp your hand with this invisible ink, and then it lights up under the blacklight.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought a couple jugs of that stuff, which he just had in a jug, and he poured into like some like bubble containers for me. It was really nice. And I thought, okay, this stuff glows. I mean, it's glows so bright. This is going to be great, you know? So before the show started, we're upstairs in the green room, and the guys are like splashing it on their hands and like running it through their hair and like, mm-hmm. you know, painting it on their face, and you can't see it because it's invisible. Right.
Right.
We had a black light up there just to, you know, to make sure or whatever. And after everybody's getting it on after about like a minute, not getting it on, but everyone's getting the paint on.
Gotcha. Yeah. The paint.
Yeah.
Paint.
And anyhow, it starts burning.
Oh.
It just stings your skin, and it's burning, and everyone, you know, and we had to go on, you know, we had to start the show, and so, anyway, we looked great.
But you were in pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But that was I don't know. I guess just a fun story about that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Back when we did first start off, the importance to me is, it's always been on the oral part of the show, you know, and the music that we're creating, because it doesn't matter how, you know, how many cool visuals you have or you know, things that you're going on. If it sounds terrible, then really what's the point? So, so that was definitely the first emphasis. But as soon as I felt like the band was gelling and we were starting to perform at a level that was exciting to me and to the people in the band, then immediately every show I try to branch out. I'm really excited about this show tomorrow night. Christine, not only does she teach yoga at a few different studios in town, but she also teaches silks at Defy Gravity CU.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been wanting to incorporate them into a show for a while, but to find there's really not a lot of spaces in town that can really accommodate poles for pole dancing. Mm-hmm. The Canopy Club is probably one of the only ones that's big enough to. I had talked with Ian, the owner of Canopy, after we decided on this date, and I was laying in bed and I thought, you know what, this would be the perfect show for this. So I called Ian right then. I was like, hey, can we do this? He's like, that's a great idea. And so Christine immediately hit up her friends who are performers and some of them teachers mm-hmm. there at Defy Gravity. And they were really excited to be a part of it too.
That's really neat.
So that's one aspect that I'm excited about. I'll tell you another visual aspect of the show tomorrow that I'm really excited about next.
Sure. Yeah, that's so it sounds like really important. The visuals are important, and also having a unique, intimate experience each time they play.
Yes. Yeah. And also we really try to cultivate a positive, accepting environment for all of the fans or the people and friends or strangers, anyone that comes to a Sun Stereo show. I've had a lot of people come up to me and just be like, well, it's a Sun Stereo show. There ain't going to be no fights, you know, like, I mean, like everyone is friendly. And so, I mean, maybe that's just the energy that people exude on stage. I don't know. Or maybe we're just lucky, you know?
But, yeah, that's really, really great.
But that's important to me. You know, I want the space to be a fun, safe place for people to go there and feel like they can do everything, you know, obviously within reason, that, you know, to express themselves and feel comfortable and just, you know, forget about all of the crap that they've been dealing with throughout the week and just have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of going to shows, right?
Right. So
exactly. All right. So we're getting close on time here.
Okay.
So we're going to do like a little speed round.
Nice.
So I believe I'm correct in saying that you guys have done a fair amount of touring and played at a lot of festivals.
Yeah, we've played around the Midwest quite a bit over the last 5 or 6 years. With this will be our sixth year at Summer Camp Music Festival coming up in the end of May. And then let's see, we've done some other fun stuff with the Gentlemen of the Road. When they did two or three of those, and I think we did one in Dixon, Illinois, one in Waverly, Iowa, and then one in Troy, Ohio. It was the Mumford and Sons Gentlemen of the Road thing, and that was really, really fun.
That sounds really cool.
And then where else have we played big festivals? I guess we played the Taste of Randolph in Chicago, North Coast Music Festival up there a couple years ago. which was pretty fun and hilarious because we played on a DJ stage that was, I mean, we fit, you know, 8 people in a space of like where we're sitting right now. Yeah. It was, and then let's see, what else are we doing this summer? I think we're doing like a taste of Champagne. I always try to do, local little festivals or shows because, so often when we do play in town, we're playing at, you know, like our start time, I think tomorrow night at Canopy is midnight. And you know, we've got a lot of people that are, you know, older or much younger, that just don't get out that late. So we can play like Taste of Champagne or Urbana Sweet Corn Festival and play at like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It's just, it's fun and it's good to be done by like 9 or 10 and be we're done, you know, instead of getting home at like 4. And then let's see where else we're playing at Navy Pier this summer. We're playing, Workout Festival, in Ohio. It's put on by a band called The Works. And I'm sure that there's more that I know we're playing a bunch of some private parties and we're even playing a wedding actually at Canopy.
Oh, wow.
That's some cool. Some of our close friends, actually who are, they're playing at the Canopy tonight.
Hey.
Yeah. Paz Vibes, Positive Vibrations. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And they're playing there tonight with, Manic Focus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to be going there tonight. And then it's like the Farewell to the Accord. So I'm going to hop over there to, say goodbye, I guess.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. And just say hi to people that are playing over there. And then I'm probably going to go home early because I still have got a lot of work to do before tomorrow still. Sure. So.
Yeah. So quickly, if you could create your own lineup for a tour with any band or artist that's live or dead, who would be at the top of that list?
Let's see. Probably Beethoven, Mozart. Probably the Beatles. I grew up listening to the Beatles. Probably the Beach Boys. I love the Beach Boys. I throw Pink Floyd in there too. Is that too many bands?
No, that sounds like a lineup.
It's an all day event.
It'd be a festival.
Yeah, killer.
Make your own festival.
I had a lot of love for Radiohead. Back in the day, I really liked Fish back in the mid '90s for about 2 or 3 years. Then I don't really listen to them at much anymore. But I also like the Grateful Dead. Back then. I got a lot of old school bands that I like. But,
nice.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that's your origins.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, you got the show coming up tomorrow at Canopy Club.
Yes.
It will be a very good time.
Mm-hmm. It's a Sun Stereo, Trouble Chasing, New Souls, Black Mage, and then we've got Defy Gravity CU that's performing with us. And then we also have the other visual thing that I was going to mention is Jake Metz is going to be doing this crazy cool analog synthesizer video projection where he's going to be taking live video footage of us on stage and then putting it through his magic Willy Wonka-esque machines, and then it's going to mix that in with a 2-hour movie of crazy visuals that I've put together, and then it's going to play on the big screen. So there should be a lot of visual stimuli to just, you know, keep you completely titillated.
Mm-hmm. And what time does that start?
The doors open tomorrow at 8, and Black Mage kicks things off at 9.
All right, so be there, Canopy Club, tomorrow at 9. Is there anything else you want to say to CU before we sign off?
Just thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And lastly, where can everyone find you online?
We're on Facebook, Sun Stereo, on Instagram, Sun Stereo Music. Our website is sunstereomusic.com. And those are the big 3, right?
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So make sure to go check out Sun Stereo online and at Canopy Club tomorrow night. We expect a full turnout. So show up. thanks for being here again. And we're going to finish with a song, another brand new song. It's Power by Sun Stereo. Take care, Polar Bear.